it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Brian Cashman will join us coming up at 2:20. He met the media earlier. If you missed it, you can rewind it on the Odyssey app during the midday program. And I listened to everything Aaron said. I listened to everything Brian Cashman said. And there's certainly a lot of things you can take away from it. But I will give you the number one thing that changed my opinion. And that is, I sat here yesterday and over the last few days when discussing the Yankee offseason, one of the things I thought was, wow, you have a surplus of starting pitching. You could deal from a strength. Well, it would have been easy 2 days ago to say, but Evan, pitchers get hurt. Why would you deal from a strength? Well, they're already hurt. Because Carlos Rodon, in news none of us saw coming, needed surgery to clean up some loose bodies in his elbow, mm-hmm. and it was confirmed by both Cashman and Boone, he will not be ready for opening day. It doesn't mean he's missing the season, it doesn't mean he's missing the first half, but he's going to miss the first few weeks of the season, and because it's surgery, you don't actually know if it's just the first few weeks of the season. Combine that with the fact that Gerrit Cole is indeed coming off Tommy John surgery, we already had an idea he wasn't going to be ready for the start of the year, but he's not going to be ready for the start of the year. So I think what this reinforces to me, Sean, is that you need to wrap your arms around the starting pitching that you have and not deal from a strength, but actually keep as much of it as you can because you may need every morsel of it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that front. I think if the Yankees are going to make upgrades to this roster, it will not involve trading, let's say, a Luis Gil or a Will Warren or somebody like that, because you are going to need them. Now, the caveat is, I don't think that this changes my approach in the offseason in terms of what additions the Yankees make. You can never have enough starting pitching, of that I have no doubt. But I'm not going out of my way to find another starter he's signed for 3 years, something like that. They are still going to start opening day with four of their baseline starters there, with Warren, with Heal, with Schlittler now, and with Max Fried. Of course, injuries notwithstanding in February or March. Ultimately, I still think Yankee starting pitching is going to be a strength of the 2026 team, but it's going to be a little nerve-wracking out the gates in April.
Yeah, I don't become super aggressive adding starting pitching by any stretch. I just think that now you have to wrap your arms around this.
Sure.
And not say, let's see what Luis Gil could get us on the open market. I floated the idea a few days ago about Carlos Rodon. I'm not even sure what his value would be considering he's coming off of surgery.
Nothing, by the way. Nothing.
Probably. I wouldn't say nothing,
but
it's not
as... You're going to take on the last 3 years of that contract and a guy coming off loose bodies?
It's not as high as it was 72 hours ago.
No doubt.
That's what I would tell you. So I think that you look at next year and you say to yourself, wow, okay, coming out of the gate, and this is just assuming everyone gets out of spring training healthy, which is a guarantee that that's not going to be the case. Whether it's the Yankees, the Mets, or any other team in baseball, you've got seven starters that you're penciling in going into spring training, one or two guys getting hurt. So even the four guys that you mentioned, there's no guarantee you're getting out of spring training healthy. So the Yankees are going into next year a little bit behind the eight ball. And Aaron Boone said something that is so true. And I've actually been thinking about it the last few days. I'm glad he brought it up. I know we've had our arguments about just get in. The regular season doesn't really matter. Get hot at the right time. Look, I stand by all those comments. But the New York Mets and the New York Yankees had one game change their future. The Mets clearly missed the playoffs by one game. The Yankees missed home field advantage throughout the postseason by one game. And Aaron Boone even admitted when talking earlier today, yeah, when I think back to this season, could I have been more aggressive with my bullpen? Could I have been more creative? Because he knows what I know, what you know. Yes, games in May feel like no big deal. But if one game went differently for the New York Yankees, they're not playing the Red Sox in a best of three.
Right.
They're hosting a best of five against the Toronto Blue Jays. Does that mean that everything goes differently? Maybe. I mean, it's possible. We know the difference it would have made on the Mets. That's different. So it reminds me that we can sit here and say, 2 weeks to begin the year, no biggie. A month to begin the year, no biggie. But the reality is we are coming off baseball seasons in this town in which one game really did change everything.
Yeah, and we always talk about managing for the marathon, not the sprint, but I think this has to be a learning lesson. If you can still learn them 8 years into your managerial career, there's no question. But Evan, I go back to something else they said, which ties into that. I'm not sure it would have made a big difference, because had the Yankees advanced here, they were going to keep pitching Carlos Rodon with his loose elbows and loose bodies in his elbow. They were going to keep playing Anthony Volpe, who couldn't hit anymore at short, now knowing he needed the surgery after all. The Yankees effectively were playing two rounds of the playoffs with two pretty key players. Now, we knew Volpe was struggling anyway, with one hand tied behind their back, and they were going to keep going like this?
Yeah, but think about this. Carlos Rodon would have made one fewer start before he made his first playoff start.
All right, good point, good point, too.
Like, things change, and it's just a reminder to me, and I'm kind of learning as this baseball new revolution continues of all the different playoff teams and the first round bye. Like, I think our views kind of change over the years because we get to see it. It was just a reminder that as much as I, as a baseball fan, minimize the regular season, both New York teams are a living body example that, no, it actually does matter. If the Yankees win one more game and they're not playing a best of three against the Red Sox, which means Carlos Loose Bodies Rodon doesn't make an extra start, and even Max Fried doesn't make an extra start, and now the games are in your own building, of course the results could have been different.
Right. And your bullpen doesn't continue to get used like it did in those three
games. 1,000%. So it makes me think, going into next year, do we, whether it's the Yankees, Mets, or any other team, almost have to treat each game a little bit more importantly? Because look at the difference it made for both teams. The other thing that I take out of a lot of what Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone said, and I do remind you, Brian's going to join us in about 12 minutes. We'll go over a lot of the things that weren't covered, maybe go further on some of the things that were covered, is the Anthony Volpe situation.
Yes.
My interpretation between Boone and Cashman is that Volpe is likely not to be ready for the start of the season.
6 months before he could even dive.
6 months before. That's what gave it away to me. Like, he can swing a bat in February, but he can't dive for 6 months.
And he ain't good enough to be the DH.
No doubt. That leads me to believe, like, if I had to guess right now, and I'll even save this and record this back next year with long-term predictions, I don't think we see Anthony Volpe till May 1st. And I'm saying that not as a doctor. I'm saying it based on the words of Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, based on his recovery time. I take it that they'd like him to be the starting shortstop, that they'd like him to be Dansby Swanson, who was brought up specifically by Aaron Boone. And Brian Cashman didn't say the name, but he did talk about how he's young. It takes some time to develop. He even talked about quarterbacks in the NFL. I think they want him to be the shortstop. But I'll tell you, and maybe this is just me reading it the way I want to read it, I don't think he's guaranteed anything.
And nor should he be. That would be the most refreshing part. But it would be very interesting, again, to see how they attack the offseason, because both the manager and general manager still mention that it's the ideal, you know, scenario where Volpe's the shortstop next year. Well, you had no problem having competition on this team for young guys like Jason Dominguez in the outfield that eventually were pushed out. What is the competition going to be? Who is the opening day starter at shortstop? And do they have a realistic chance, if playing well, like we mentioned yesterday, to hang on to that job when Volpe's ready?
So I don't think it's going to be someone from the outside world. Brian kept things open to, hey, our roster can be constructed in many different ways. We haven't even tacked the offseason program in terms of guys they could add. I think just off the top, it's likely to be a recovering Oswaldo Cabrera and Jose Caballero. But if one of those guys or both of those guys perform at a high level, as Anthony Volpe is about to come back. And remember this about Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe, once he's ready to come back, is not just going to show up in the Bronx. He's going to play rehab games.
Yeah.
And Anthony Volpe has options. If Anthony Volpe is playing his rehab games, and let's say he montasses it by struggling and not hitting.
Is that the new word we're using, montassing?
Yeah, like when a major leaguer goes on rehab and sucks.
I like that.
Yeah, well, whatever you want to call it. It could become Volpe, and we'll have to see how it plays out. I think the Yankees are going to be in a position to slow play his return, because if he's not hitting at AAA or not defending well at AAA, they have every right to option him to the minor leagues once his rehab clock expires.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I know that some Yankee fans, and this is the beauty of listening to someone speak, and we all come up with different conclusions. I know a lot of Yankee fans heard Brian Cashman and heard Aaron Boone and said, oh my God, Volpe's being shoved down our throat. I honestly didn't take it that way. I took it as they still believe in him. They still want to give him an opportunity, but there's a long way to go. Like, he's going to rehab this offseason. He's going to have to recover. And then when he recovers, he's going to have to go to the minor leagues on rehab. And, yeah, he's going to have to perform. And if he doesn't perform, while those internal options may not be sexy, it doesn't mean they're going to go out and sign some kind of superstar shortstop. Not that there is one growing on a tree. I think that there is a way for him not to just be guaranteed his job. He's going to have to perform. And that's all I wanted. I'm not a DFA, trade Volpe kind of guy. I'm a re-earn your spot kind of guy. And if he re-earns it and becomes Dansby Swanson, good for him. The guy's got a lot of talent, but it should not be handed to him.
No, I'm with you on re-earning it, but it's a lot easier to re-earn it if there's not enough competition there to not have you re-earn it. You know what I mean?
But is that enough competition? Is Oswaldo Cabrera and Jose Caballero enough for you?
I actually do think it is, because Cabrera, I like, ultimate utility guy. Felt horrible about him with the injury. But Caballero, whatever you want to say about him, at least I know he's a pest on the bases. And he's a factor that if you get him out there, it's a guy who can steal 50 bases in any given year if he's playing every day. He stole a ton this year. And Cashman mentioned him in the press conference about what a difference he made on the base pass when you got him. You know, if he comes up in April and he swiped 9 bags and you're looking at it going, this guy is creating runs for us, I think that is competition.
And guess what? That could lead to Anthony Volpe not being the guaranteed everyday shortstop. There was also contradictions from both Boone and Cashman, and I'm not surprised by this because they are different humans, as much as people think they're the same person, on if this injury affected him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Tiki was deeply offended when Boone was like, it didn't affect him. And he doubled down on that earlier today.
Yes.
And Brian Cashman was like, no, I think it affected him.
Yeah, I can't wait to ask Cashman about this. I thought he nailed it, and it was very nice and open that he could say, you know, it affected him. What I didn't understand from Aaron Boone is, you don't think it affected him. And then Boone followed up by saying, but, you know, you hope that when he gets the surgery, it does help him become a better player. Well, how could it help him on a positive end, but you didn't think it was hurting him on the negative end?
I think it's almost a defense mechanism to why they played him every day. And I understood his answer, which is, you know, guys are hurt. Guys are playing through it. We didn't think it negatively affected him enough to sit him. But looking back on it, looking back at the fact he ultimately needed surgery and there were episodes, as they called it, that caused re-aggravation, isn't that enough to say, yeah, the freaking injury affected him? I think it affected him, and that's not an excuse. I'm certainly not an Anthony Volpe defender. You heard what I just said about him, but I have to call things like balls and strikes. I mean, the guy clearly needed major surgery during the offseason. To say that didn't negatively affect his play would be wrong.
No, I think obviously it would be wrong, but I just wonder why it took till the very last at-bat in Game 4 to pinch hit for him in the postseason.
Yeah, well, they should have pinch hit for him. They should have been more aggressive, I thought, during the season in not playing him.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.